I realized that there's so much to talk about this subject that I could not put all in one sermon. So the next week will be on the same topic, the D-Day. Now, before we get to the D-Day part, I'd like you to look into this text. It says, thousands upon thousands are waiting where?
In the valley of decision.
What is the valley of decision? I'll call the valley of indecision. Because so many people are just waiting, I don't know why, to make a decision. Sometimes people make decisions only when crisis comes to them. And they think that crisis leads them to Christ. It doesn't work that way. Because sometimes when you are pushed into belief, you don't believe. You're just taking a position just for convenience because you are fearful of the consequences. And that is not the right reason for us to come to Christ. No one will find Christ if they come because of fear. Fear does not lead anybody to Christ. Faith does, always. So maybe you just have the wrong kind of a word with the F, starting with the F. It's faith, not fear, that leads us to Christ. And it says, there the day of the Lord will soon arrive. Today we'll be talking about a D-Day, but not necessarily of that day. That will be next week. Okay? Today's message, the D-Day. You saw in the cover, I'll show in the screen also, the picture of a newspaper. This actually is a picture of a newspaper. Of course, I improved a little bit. I put a color, and I changed the picture to on the middle of the newspaper. But this is actually a newspaper that was published June 6, 1944. What took place that day? All the Allied forces, after planning for months and months and months and creating special equipment to deal with the weather and to do in the most difficult channels to cross from England until France, Normandy, Omaha, all those Juno, all those beaches that was there very heavily armed. The Nazis made more than 2,000 miles of a wall, you know, preparing for that day to come. And the day came. And thousands of young people died even before they stepped on the ground. You know, all the calculations they made, they didn't realize that it was supposed to, they were supposed to arrive there when the tide would be up. So the ships would take them as close as possible to the beach. And when they arrived there, they were away almost a mile. And the soldiers scared because the sea was so rough, they came out so weak. And as they got out, they still have, some of them has to walk so long. And there were the Germans, picked like they were target shooting. Thousands of young men died in a few minutes. Some of them were just 18, 19, 20 years old. Why they had to die? Because freedom has to be earned. So many people sometimes sit on the bench in a church and they don't realize who paid for the privilege for you to have this honor to sit in fellowship and worship without anything against to hold you from doing this. Somebody paid the price. And June is two months and few more days. When they arrive in June 6, It took them 2 months, 3 weeks and 3 days to finally obtain victory. It was not until August when they finally declared victory. Of course, they always, when there is war, there is few incidents here and there, but it was officially over. What is the D-Day? The D-Day that I like to talk to you is not about that D-Day. It's a D-Day that is more relevant for us than even that one. That one it caused a lot of impact in the whole world, but there is something else that is causing a lot of impact in all of us. And that's what I'd like to talk. What is the D-Day? Depends on whom you ask. Each person may have a different definition of what the D-Day is. And so it says many people think that they know the answer. They say, oh, D stands for designated day, and a specific day, or decision day, maybe a doomsday, or even a death day. In other words, the D in D-Day merely stands for a day. That's all there was. It's just say, the day that we go, that means, that's all that it meant that day. This is a code designation that was used to for the military to establish what day are we going. They went on the Tuesday, and they called the operation Neptune. You know what they, even at that moment, so crucial in the history of the planet, these people were using pagan symbolisms. You know, Tuesday is the god of war and the sea. Neptune, the same thing. So even a little details, they were praising the gods because they were going to war. And they even called the whole operation Overlord. It was all about off we go. The great invasion begins. And yes, I want you to think about this. When Jesus Christ comes with billions of angels, and they are coming here to pick you up, to provide you the freedom that you're seeking. Amen. The enemy has been afflicting us for 6,000 years, but the day will come. This whole planet will be invaded with, I don't even like the word invasion, but I try to find another one that would be fitting better here. But they will come. And you know that so many angels will come. And I told the people this. There will be so many angels in this earth that they will not have enough room for the angels to put their face in. It will be just like in the entire earth. That's why the Bible says there will be light everywhere. Because they all reflect the glory of God. And it will be complete, a shell over the whole earth. To the point that anybody outside of the earth won't be able to see earth. All they're going to see is the ball of fire because all the angels. And one angel is going to say, excuse me, I have to go down to pick up my special one. And they will come down. And the Lord will stay there. And that will be the D-Day. Off we go. And the angel will come and pick us up. And off we go. And that's what is going to happen. Very soon indeed. Now, you used this slide last week. Abba. And then, a bad dawn. Abba dawn. A really bad dawn. It says, what is D-Day for Abba? And what is the D-Day for Abaddon? Please, I want to make sure that you pay very close attention to this. I know you have heard about those things one way or the other, but I want to sustain your mind. Every single thing that God does, the devil creates something to destroy it. And so, this is the concept that I'm trying to show to you. That when we have something established by God, make sure that Satan is going to establish something else to try to destroy it, the concept. So, the Lord says, I would like to dedicate a day, a very special day. Do you know what day is that? Abba's day. Okay? He says, I want to make a special day, because many people say, oh, the Lord created the world in 6 days. No, He created the world in 7 days. Because when He finished everything that was supposed to be this earth, there was one thing left. And He created the seventh day. And by the way, scientifically, you can prove that the week has to have 7 days. Everything in nature shows the 7 day cycle. Okay? Pregnancy, everything, the gestation of an animal, everything proves that the 7 days is not something created by the Jewish people, it's not created by somebody, it is created by God. And so, Abba dedicated a day to celebrate the fact that He is our Father. He wants a fellowship with us, and He wants us to fellowship with each other. So He created that day, and He dedicated. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, it says, after He finished, He sanctified the day. The seventh day. Many people say, oh, the first day, the Bishop of Rome, John Paul II, they claim that now he is a saint and that he can answer prayers. He's just a pile of ashes. That's all he is. But they keep praying. And they says, he said, oh, the Lord's day is Sunday because the Lord sanctified the day and He set aside. So He used the same verse and He took the seventh day out and He put the first day. And I think, how in the world people can let these people get away with those things? Is because if you're not familiar with the book, people can say anything and you just accept. So what happened? God established a day to dedicate that He is the Abba. Abba God says, I have to find a day for me too. Why? Because I don't want anybody to worship Abba. I want them to worship anything but not Abba. So He created also a deceptive day. A designated day. Why was this seventh day unique in its creation? I don't know how many of you know, but originally, in every single language, all the days did not have names. In every language, the days originally did not have names. The only day that I received a name was Sabbath. Saturday came afterward. That was a name given by the Ben Don. He's the one who named Sabbath Saturday. But God named the first day, and then you know how the people used to say the days? First day after the Sabbath. Second day after the Sabbath. Third day after the Sabbath. That's the way they used to talk. And some people in part of the world, they still talk that way. As I mentioned to you before, Brazilians, Portuguese-speaking people in Africa, in South America, in Europe, they say second day, they call second day. The only day there was change, and that is part of our talks later on, it was Abaddon came in and decided to name the first day of the week the Lord's Day. That was a deceptive thing. So the dragon has his day too. God has his day, and so does the dragon. The Bible says the day of the Lord is delightful. So what will be the day of the dragon? Death's day. And you know what you find? Then there is deliverance day. And then the doomsday. And then there is the decisive day. And then there is destruction day. It is what is going to happen. Now remember that I talked to you here. What happens to death, death's day, is the day when you eat what you're not supposed to. That's the way it started with Adam and Eve. When you eat what you're not supposed to, you get end up with death. Now, this Eve, somebody's phone, is it yours? No, it's out there. Okay, it says, this Eve. I put the D there because you know, do you know who owns this word? the dragon. It says to mislead, to lie, to falsify, to cheat. There goes the word again. To pretend. So that is the work of the deceiver, the father of lies. This is what Jesus Christ said about this individual. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And by the way, I will be sound a little bit harsh, is the word. But I don't believe God asked me to occupy the pulpit to be apologizing for the truth. So I'll be as kind as possible, but I'm going to say it the way it is. And if you feel offended, talk to him, please. You are of your father's the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer, a destroyer from the beginning. And it says, and does not stand on the truth. And you know why I capitalize the word truth, right? Anybody knows why? Do you know the hint, the color? You notice that I'm using that color always to refer to God? Because Jesus is the truth. And so Jesus is saying, the devil doesn't want anything to do with me. Because I am the opposite of what he is. I came for life and he's all about death. I came for the truth and he's all about lies. I came to show you the Father, and his job is to hide the Father by pretending, by building a different image about the Father, so that you think that your Father as mean as he is, talking about the devil, because there is no truth in him. You know, I read a very long article, and I have part of them here for you to share with you, about somebody explaining why they don't keep the Sabbath. If you read, you put your head like this, it says, is it possible that somebody can be that naive or just evil? When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. The father of destruction, the father of lies, the one who opposes truth. Brothers and sisters, remember this, very easy to remember. John 8, and you break 8 in 2, 4-4. 8:44, John 8:44 is where the truth is. Now, deceiver, yes, and this is what Jesus said, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar and the father of it. Now, Abaddon, the Bible says, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. Do you know what a bottomless pit is here, saying here? Chaos. It's when everything turned into a chaos. This was earth before it was created and will be after Jesus Christ comes. Whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. Okay? Revelation 9, verse 11. Now, the Bible also says death and destruction, which is in original, in Hebrew, I checked the Hebrew, is Abaddon, are never satisfied. Destruction is something that keeps going on, and he never stops because his mission is total destruction. And he's going to fulfill his goal. He is going to bring total destruction upon himself, his angels, and everyone who follows him. And neither is human eyes as well. Proverbs 27:20, NIV version. Now, here is the week as was established by God. The Sabbath, it says, dedicate. Dedicate means to proclaim, affirm, set apart, and consecrate to a deity or a sacred purpose. This is from a dictionary. It has nothing to do with religion. That's what it says the word dedicate as verb means. Now, I'd like to ask you, is it possible for another day of the week to be proclaimed, to be affirmed, to be set apart, to be consecrated to a deity or for a sacred purpose. They claim it is, but the reality is it's not possible because only God can make things holy. Nobody else. Somebody can come and do this 10 times and won't make any difference. You know, those things doesn't make anything holy. What it makes holy is God's presence. And only when He's present, something becomes holy. Or when He claims as ownership. Remember the Sabbath day? Do you? Do you remember the Sabbath day? Why is God asking us to remember the Sabbath day? He didn't say, remember Saturday. No, brother and sister, He didn't say, remember Saturday. Because when you say Saturday, you're giving the glory, you're taking the glory of Abba, and you're giving to a pagan God that never existed, was just a created. You are telling people that this day belongs to Saturn and not to Abba. Can you imagine how pleasing it is to Abaddon when God's people, Abba's people, is saying that Abba no longer owns this day, it's Saturn is the one who owns this day. Some people may say, Pastor, are you trying to be, isn't this too go to extreme, you know, it's not a big deal. Believe me, Satan is very happy when people say it's not a big deal. How many lies make a lie? Even to think about it is already a lie. So why do I say a lie and say no consequence? We're just used to it. No big deal. Be careful not to get too used to lies, because if you are part of the truth, lies should make you feel bad. If you take 4 or 5 lemons and you squeeze in a cup and you start drinking, what do you think will be your facial or your body reaction to that lemon with no sugar and no water? How do you feel you're going to feel? Like this, right? Acid. Sometimes people don't realize that if you take it little by little, the reaction will be different. You're not going to be making faces. Your body is going to adjust little by little. And then will come a time that you're going to take a cup of lemon and your smile is going to like you just got an orange. The secret is little by little. Little by little. The devil doesn't care when you're going to drop dead. As long as you're poisoning yourself little by little every day, he knows that the end will be death. So the end, so I have been around for thousands of years. I can wait for another 70 just for you to drop dead. Little by little. And that's how he does. It says to keep it holy. By the way, none of us should ever make an effort to make the Sabbath holy. We cannot make anything holy. We can only keep what God has. A commandment established by whom?
God.
Not the God that calls himself God in Rome. It's the God who is the Heavenly Father. That Abba. And you know, some of you may not know. Do you know that church decided to call the head of their church Abba as well? Do you know that they call him Abba, right? Because that's what the word Pope means. In Latin, Papa. As you say in English, I noticed that some of you in English say Papa. You know, like in German, is Papa. It means Abba. So not only they claim to have the power to change things, but they claim to be God Himself. Genesis 2:2 says, "And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done." He rested, not because He was tired. The word rest here, it not necessarily means because you are tired. Believe me, most of us do more on the Sabbath than sometimes we do during the week. Especially those that are very active in the church, in the office and everything else. We work. It's just that our minds, our state of mind is different. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctify it. What do you mean sanctify it? He set aside by saying, "It is mine." And then he says, because in it he rested. You know what the word rest means? I'm going to rest this bulletin over here. To set here. He took himself and he put himself right in the middle of the word Sabbath. Is there. He says, that's why I am here. Therefore, it is holy because I am present. You shall keep my Sabbath. This is a commandment. And reverence, show reverence on my sanctuary. Why should we reverent? Sometimes, I'm going to say this. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes we walk inside of a, this is going to be hurtful. Sometimes we, Seventh-day Adventists, we walk inside the sanctuary like we walk in a barn. We need a little bit more awe about what a church is. We need to stop thinking that this is a club. This is not a place for us to act like we are in a barn. Talk about things that are not even proper for us to talk, even outside. This is a sanctuary because it's a place that God decided for to be dedicated for His name to be worshipped and for us to fellowship. I am the Lord, He says. Therefore, whatever my name is proclaimed, show reverence. The Sabbath is it needs reverence because the Sabbath has Abba there. And by the way, do you know that B stands for? In Hebrew, B is house, is sanctuary. The Sabbath not only has the sanctuary right in the heart of it, but it has Abba sanctuary. It's so meaningful. It's not only, and by the way, have you noticed that there's an A in the beginning and there's an A in the end, meaning there's no beginning or end. That's why the Bible says, I am the first and the last. There's no beginning, no end. It's actually talking about our Heavenly Father. John 1:3 says, all things were made through Him. Him whom? Abba, Christ. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. He was there all the time, and He is still here. Matthew 12, verse 8, for the Son of Man, means Christ, is Lord even of the Sabbath. By the way, I read this Bible a few times, and I, just for this study, for example, I looked for more than probably 15 or 20 different versions of the Bible, studying different verses. In none, not a single version of the Bible, I find Sunday is a day to worship. There are 8 references in the Bible about the first day. And they all says the first day. None of them says a holy day, a special day. Mark 2:28, and I showed that all the Gospels use this. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And then it goes, Luke 6:5, and He said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Isaiah 58:13. This is the text that makes a lot of Seventh-day Adventists sweat. This is a Bible verse that makes Seventh-day Adventists a little bit nervous. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, what that means? Where do you go on the Sabbath? Where do you go? Some, yes, young man, some come to church, but then what? Then what do you do with the rest of the Sabbath? Where you go depends how you honor the Sabbath. Where do you go? From doing your pleasure or my holy day, I was looking at the Good News Translation. It talks about, says, even you're traveling, don't do traveling on the Sabbath. Some people say, oh, but Pastor, that's the best fare, that's the best price. It doesn't matter that somebody's going to be serving me, even though the program says, oh, I need to. And that makes the whole thing goes away. Call the Sabbath a delight. Remember that I said the delight day? The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him. Not doing your own ways. That's the part that it says, don't do your traveling. Not finding your own pleasure. Not speaking your own words. That's difficult. Now, the deception starts from the beginning. He said to Adam and Eve, eat. What is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong about eating, right? As long as you eat what you're supposed to eat. But when you take a bite of something that is not supposed to, that's what it becomes. Eating is fine as long as you do according to what God asks. But when you decide to eat as an object of defiance against what God says, that's what it becomes. Now, what happened here? Right from the beginning, a different way of worship is started. Abel, the Bible says, he would do as God asked. Sola Scriptura, the Bible only. But Cain said, my opinion counts. I will do my way. Have you heard that expression before? This is my opinion. I want to do my way. And so Cain decided to offer whatever he pleased. He offered, and I know this is a stretch, okay? It's just symbolically speaking. He built an altar symbolizing Sunday. Abel said, I'm going to stay with what the Lord says. So the Bible says God accepted Abel, but his disabled brother insisted, I would do my way when I want. Because everybody else is doing on Sunday, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. But Abel said, what counts for me is to do what God asked, only what he asked. The Bible says God accepts Abel and his offering. But what happened to Cain? God talked to him and said, Cain, that's not the day that I asked, Cain. That's not the offering that I asked. Why don't you do it just like I asked? He went and killed his brother. Yes, he did. And death came. And death has been with us since then. Yes, defiance. There is an obsession. If you look at every religion in the planet, there is this obsession to erase the Sabbath out of the picture. How many Muslims are there in the world? Anybody has an idea? To the billion, okay? Do you know what happened to them? they had to pick up a day to worship. They could not pick Sunday because those Christians already got that one, those Romans. What about Sabbath? Jewish, I don't hate them. So I have to pick up something else. So they stuck with Friday. Brother Cleveland, would you stand up, please? Say to everybody here present, how do you call Friday in Swahili? What number they put on the Friday? Which means?
Friday.
Yeah, but is it a seventh day?
Sixth day?
I was told that on the first day they called the first day Sabbath. They said the first day they changed the order of the sequence. Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, I will correct this. It was somebody who speaks Swahili from the church here who told me we call Sabbath. Saturday we call the first day. So they move Friday to the seventh. Am I wrong? No, if I am, I will be glad to tell everybody that stuff, and I will talk to the individual. Believe me, I will. But they said that, I understand that it happens because some of you here speak other languages, and you know in your countries, they already changed the order. I have seen calendars when Sunday is to be put in the seventh day. You go to Europe, that's very common. Many countries already have the Sunday as the seventh day. Okay? So that's why I believe when a person told me it is possible. But my point is this. Effort is being made everywhere to say the day of worship, it is Friday. Oh no, it's Sunday. The really thing they are saying is anything but not Abba. That's what the world is saying. Anything but not Abba. We'll listen to the Abba in Rome. We'll listen to the Abba in Greece, the Orthodox Church. We will listen to the Iman. We'll listen to anybody, but not the one we should be listening to. And that, do you think that this is coincidence? How many of you here speak Spanish? Alright? Alright. What do they call the first day of the week? Or lingo, right? Yes. What is domingo means? Yes. Do you know what they call in Latin? And that's where the word domingo is from? Dominus Dei. Meaning the Lord's Day. We that speak Spanish or Portuguese or Italian, we go around in the world lying without knowing that we are lying. We are saying to everybody, today is the Lord's Day, without even realizing what we are saying. Does it matter? Do you think it makes any difference? If it doesn't make any difference, why do you think Satan put so much effort to deceive the whole world to say a lie? You know the problem with a lie? You say once, you say twice, 3, 4, 5 times, and then even the people who do not want to lie embrace it and become desensitized and start saying. We Seventh-day Adventists, do you know how many of us call Sunday the seventh day? Do you know how many? There are quite a few of us, Seventh-day Adventists, even pastors, who is calling Sunday the seventh day. You know how? Yeah, you know, you heard that before. When we say the weekend, we put Sunday as the seventh day. And we do without no thinking, but somebody out there saying, ching, ching, one more, I got it. One more lie, it keeps repeating. the skin is so thick. You have no idea how he's prepared all of us for the mark of the beast. The day, the D-Day is coming. Are we awake enough to realize that we have been puppets? That we have been repeating lies over and over again without even realizing what we are doing? Wake up, people. The Lord's Day is coming. The D-Day is around the corner. I know that I'm taking too much of time, but you know, if you want to stand up and leave, feel free, but I'm going to read this, okay? I will. The Roman day. Paganism, by the way, this is a quotation. Paganism influenced by the Orange and development of the, I crossed the word Christian because that's not Christian, and I put the word pagan Sunday. It gave to the pagan institution the name by which is most commonly called Sun's Day. It promoted the observance of Sunday by its adoption of the seventh day of the week. It prepared for the adoption of Sunday as the official weekly religious day by the prominence accorded to Sunday in the pagan religions. This is the encyclopedia of the Bible. What a mockery. What a mockery, call this Bible. Encyclopedia of the Bible, under the subject, the Lord's Day, and they're talking about Sunday, which is not the Lord's Day, Dominus Day, that's what they call. This was written by Henry Bentinson, very famous British Anglican. He translated a lot of books of the Roman Catholic Church. One of the numerous Oriental religions which became popular in the Roman Empire at the beginning of the Christian era, especially among the Roman soldiers, was Mithraism. You know what that is? It came from Persia. Do you know what that is? It says Mithra was the god of the sun. Not S-O-N, S-U-N, the god of the sun. Consequently, Mithraism regarded Sunday as a sacred day. The veneration of this day by adherents of the pagan religion to no doubt contributed to the selection of Sunday by the Emperor Constantine. I asked this question a few years ago, and I tricked quite a few of you when I said, who changed the Sabbath from Sabbath to Sunday? Who did? If you ask this question, Loma Linda Church, with thousands of people there, you'll be amazed how many hands will be up. Because we keep saying, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, we keep saying all the time, oh, Constantine changed. Constantine was the Jesus. We are giving credit for somebody that nobody can change. Nobody did and nobody ever will, because everything that God does, Ecclesiastes 3:14, everything that God does is forever. Amen. It's forever, brothers and sisters. You are here doing something that you're going to be doing forever. Get used to it. It's a forever business. You know, he issued that in the year 321. We know 7 days, it's all, we know all of this, all we memorized. And he ordered all the judges, the people, the craftsmen, to rest on what day? He called the day that has to be a federal day dedicated to the sun. Yeah, the sun is going to burn a lot of it. And that's what you'll find on page 26. The Council of Laodicea, oh, Laodicea. Don't you like this word Laodicea? You know what Laodicea, right, in the Bible? Yeah. It's the lazy people that like to sleep all the time, do nothing. That's Laodicea, and the Laodicea starts very early. Commands Christians not to observe Saturday. I agree with them, we should not observe Saturday either. We are in the business of observing Sabbath. So in that way, but look, I don't know if you noticed something. I like details. I think by now you probably know. I like details. I look details in everything. Every word I try to discover detail. They capitalized, this is the original, they capitalized Saturday. But they did not capitalize Sabbath. And that is intentional. I look at some Bible versions, many of them, and you'll be amazed how many of them no longer capitalize the Sabbath. And they don't call the Sabbath anymore. They call a Sabbath. Yeah, many, many Bible versions, they are no longer capitalizing the Sabbath, but they are trying to say that the Sabbath is no longer a noun. But Sunday, as the day for him, that's the real picture. And he is saying, ching ching, more to my group. This is a verse that makes many so-called Christians kind of itchy, kind of uncomfortable. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet he stumble on Abba and try to kick Abba out of the picture, he or she is guilty of them all. Isn't the Sabbath important?
Yes.
Too bad it is.
Yes.
Is the Sabbath initial salvation?
Yes.
Read Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, 23. And you're going to find out, oh yes. Are we saying this because we are Seventh-day Adventists? Nope. I'm saying this because I believe in the Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible only.
Amen.
I hope, brothers and sisters, when that day comes, and that day will come, when death and the grave and the destroyer and the false prophet, yeah, 666, the beast, the image of the beast, and the false prophet, all of them will throw into the lake of fire. And that will be the end of everything. The end of death, the end of the destroyer. For it is my Father's will for all of you that who choose to believe in His Son, you should not perish, but you have everlasting life, eternal life. I will raise you up on that deep day when I come for you. That is His promise. May the Lord bless us as we reinforce our commitment to be ready on D-Day. Next week, I'm going to give you some more specific details about the Lord's Day, where the Bible talks about the Judgment Day, the Doomsday, and the Demolition Day. Demolition Day is coming. So let's make sure that we miss that appointment. That is an appointment that we don't want to be in His list. So if you worship Abba, the bad dawn will leave you alone. But make sure that you embrace Abba, and Abba is the center of your life.
Amen.
Let's stand and let's bring the ladies front here again and sing with us.